Got some more joke jokes for you. Rory Scovel with, what did the fish say when he swam into a wall? Damn. Think about it. Dennis Feitosa said, this guy gets a horse. And when he says, thanks be to God, it makes the horse move. And when he says, amen, it makes the horse stop. One day, the guy gets on the horse and he says, thanks be to God. And the horse starts bolting. He's trying to get the horse to stop and the horse won't stop. And he's getting close to a cliff and he shouts, amen. And the horse stops. He's really relieved and he sighs, thanks be to God. And the horse runs off the cliff. Fortune Feimster, what's the difference between beer nuts and deer nuts? One's $1.99. The other one's under a buck. David Sedaris, what's the difference between a Camaro and an erection? I don't have a Camaro. And Keenan Thompson for the win. Oprah Winfrey, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and a little girl. They're on a plane. The plane's having problems, but there are only 3 parachutes. Oh no. Oprah says, I'm the richest woman in the world, so I'm getting one. Oprah takes the parachute and jumps off the plane. Trump says, well, I'm the president, so I get one. And he jumps off the plane. Obama looks at the little girl and says, my dear, you're the future. You take the last one. And the little girl looks at Obama and says, no, we both get one. Trump took my book bag. Joe Rogan was on Lex Friedman's podcast and said, if I hadn't done the things that I got interested in, martial arts and comedy, if I hadn't got interested in those things, I would have been effed because I was too independent for normal jobs. I was too independent for school. I didn't want to listen to people. I was too feral. I didn't want to sit still. If I was with the wrong parents, especially today, I most certainly would have been medicated. Rogan talked about his influences, one of which, Richard Pryor. He had the most profound impact on me when I was a kid. When I was 15 years old, my parents took me to see Live at the Sunset Strip, which is Richard Pryor's concert film, and I remember very distinctly being in the audience and laughing and looking around at the people in the audience who were like falling out of their chairs, dying laughing, just swaying back and forth, and I was laughing hard too, and I was like, my God, this guy's just doing this by talking. I thought all the great movies that I'd seen, that I loved, they were hilarious comedy movies, and I was like, nothing that I've ever seen is as funny as this, and all he's doing is talking. That planted a seed in my head for my love of stand-up comedy and my curiosity about the art form. And that's what got me interested in watching it on TV and then ultimately going to open mic nights and then eventually doing it. Speaking of Richard Pryor, Time magazine has an article, Rain Pryor on Richard Pryor, the night that changed Richard Pryor. Richard's daughter, Rain, says, the biggest misconception about my father is that he knew he was big time. Today, celebrities know where they stand. We have social media. Richard didn't have a visual gauge that told him whether he was hot or not. Once we were out, a veteran approached Dad and said, when I was in NAMM, it was your comedy that got me through some ugly times. I want to thank you, sir. Dad's eyes welled up with tears. He turned to me and said, I did that? Now, one night in 1967, he was doing a regular gig at the Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas. He walked off stage mid-set, realized he was performing for mostly white tourists. His own words to Rain Pryor were that most of the audience is white folks and I feel inauthentic. He was fired after that night, and it might have been the best thing that could have happened to his comedy. His life changed when he made a conscious decision to stick it to the man. He refused to stay shackled by white men in Hollywood, a decision that allowed him to become one of the richest black men and to run his own production studio at Columbia. Despite all this, Dad never viewed himself as being a trailblazer. He saw himself as working to do what he knew and loved. He saw himself as breaking free once again from small town Peoria. He never intended to make a prolific mark. That just happened because he was willing to take risks. Without Richard Pryor, there's no Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, or Dave Chappelle. Rochester First was talking to Bert Kreischer about podcasting and said, one thing I find so fascinating about podcasting is it's something that looks like it's easy. You just kind of go there and you chat on a microphone for a little bit. Do you prep? Do you just kind of show up? Bert says, nah, sometimes you pull things off to the side and you read it on your phone and you go, oh, this would be a good topic. The other night I put something on my phone and I was like, oh, that'll be fun for me and Tom Segura to talk about for the most part. Not to give you the secret sauce. I just hang out with Tom. That's the best part of doing a podcast. There is no preparation. Maybe that's bad because when I do Rogan, I don't prepare for it. And I know there are people that do prepare for it and maybe they're better than I am, but I just go and do it. And that should be the fun, finding the little moments that are hilarious. No one predicted we'd ever start Sober October when we did on Rogan that one day. But we did when he asked me how much I drank. I told him the truth. And next thing, the three of us are sober for the whole month of October and in a fitness challenge. Segura thinks podcasting has changed the game entirely. For radio, they felt the dent podcasting put in. It's a way for us to promote ourselves. It's an extension of social media. Some of us aren't great on Twitter. I'm a podcast listener. I think there are some people that do podcasts that don't listen to podcasts. Dude, it's my blanket at the end of the night. It's what I listen to going to bed. It's what I get on the treadmill listening to. I woke up yesterday at 4:30 in the morning to do a workout before we flew here. And the first thing I did was I put on a podcast. I love them. Vulture spoke to Larry Wilmore. The conversation, as many do, turned to Dave Chappelle. Larry said, Chappelle's interesting. don't know what the right term is, but I think he's revealing himself on stage. He's granted himself a certain permission, and he's speaking to the audience in a way that nobody else quite does. That's a touchy subject, though, the subject being transgender people. You're not going to see me doing jokes in that area. My biggest reason is that anytime there's a group feeling really attacked, you got to be careful. I would really have to have a good take on something to put myself out there with jokes. Vulture was curious if Larry ever makes professional judgments based on the content in comedy like that. Larry said, I'm not thinking about it like that. How dare they say that? I'll never work with that person. I don't have those conversations with myself. I've never had an opportunity to work with Dave Chappelle, so it'd be silly for me to say, well, I'm not going to work with Dave Chappelle. Nobody asked you to. If somebody asked me, then I would have to think about it and consider it. Tom Segura had some harsh words for Jimmy Fallon's debut on The Tonight Show as host. Segura was on the Pardon My Take podcast and said, Fallon's debut was so bleeping terrible. You get comfortable doing it. Those guys, they tape 5 a week. They never have weeks off. They do it so much. But Fallon's debut interview with De Niro was horrible and said it was a bad decision to have De Niro as the guest because De Niro is notoriously quiet. You could see Fallon trying so hard. It was clearly just odd. And that's your comedy news for today. All right, you're going to bug one of your friends to listen to the show, right? Go on social media, post a link, share the show, tell people you like it. Help me out. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.